With MSO News Sports, I'm Rick Moore. I'm really happy to be joined now by Sally Karen. She is the meet the new boss, same as the old boss, Danvers representative-elect in the Essex 13th of Massachusetts. And Sally, welcome to MSO.
Thank you very much, Rick. It's a pleasure to be here with you today.
Well, the main thing is meet the new boss, same as the old boss. That has some interesting connotations. But you're back in the legislature. And what's interesting is that you had one of the two, I think, competitive races here on the North Shore, and perhaps yours was the most competitive. But here you are returning to the legislature, so congratulations. And tell us a little bit about the impetus on why you decided to go to run again.
Well, thank you. So I decided to run again. I hadn't planned on it. When Ted Spiliotis, who now holds this seat, announced in late April, around April 28th, I want to say, that he would be retiring, my first thought was, gee, I hope all is well with Ted. And I sent him a text and said, hearing these rumors, hope you're okay. Because you never know. And he wrote back and said, the rumors are true. I don't have a candidate in the race, and I'm fine.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So my thought was, this is going to be a very challenging time for our communities and our people as we move through both the public health crisis of COVID as well as the economic fallout. And I thought, you know, I've done that job, and I could be helpful to my community and to the other communities. And I talked with a couple of people, and including my husband, and just knew in my gut that I wanted to get back and see if I can be useful in this moment to my communities. And so I put it together, and it's been wonderful being back in touch with people. I did do some door-to-door in my campaign. I wore a mask. I stayed well away. Sometimes if someone seemed uncomfortable with a person at the door, they would indicate, and I'm a pretty good, I can read people fairly well. If they were uncomfortable, I would just kind of wave and say thanks and be on my way. But that happened maybe two or three times. For the most part, people were happy to, you know, for me to take 30 seconds, introduce myself, tell them that I'm running in order to help ensure that the state continues to have an effective response to COVID, helps our individuals seeking unemployment, make sure that kind of safety net, if you will, those essential forms of assistance remain available, help our schools and teachers and families and these poor parents trying to be teachers at home while working. So all of that is sort of what I talked about on the campaign trail, if you will, with people. And then I also just had, there was just this pervasive sense of worry and uncertainty. And again, going back to my experience in the legislature, you know, I know the importance of, we went through a fiscal crisis in 90 when Senator Bruce Tarr and I were newly elected. And we had to make some difficult choices. We had to get our state back on stable economic footing, and we did that. It took some doing. And so in some ways there are some similarities. And I really take my hat off to the parents and the teachers and the kids going through this. It's tremendously challenging. And you yourself as a former educator, or I guess you're always an educator, right?
I guess, yeah. I guess. At least that's what my wife tells me. She says, stop trying to tell me. Stop trying to act to me like I'm a student. Yeah, I guess so. You're right.
So I'm looking forward to getting back and using my experience. I'm very concerned, as we all are, about our local aid situation. We want to make sure that our cities and towns have that predictable source of revenue. I serve on the finance committee in Danvers. I've been on it for a couple of years, and you know, cities and towns need to know that aid will be there. So, in addition to watching what we're doing on the state level, I am fervently hoping that something happens in the mind of Mitch McConnell to make him.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm glad you mentioned Senator Bruce Tarr, because as people who know MSO know that he's a former student of mine, and we talk once a week for to get the latest out of the state legislature. But one of the things I've always talked about with Senator Tarr is the fact that in Massachusetts, at least, there's a good model. They give politicians, I think, a good name, because here you have an overwhelmingly Democratic legislature who works with a Republican governor more than semi-frequently, and then you have Senator Tarr as the minority leader in the Senate, and things get done. And it's always done, even when there are adversarial positions, things get done respectfully. And I think that one of the things, I always feel that legislators from the North Shore all know one another, and I'm wondering, do you know Governor Baker?
I knew of Governor Baker back in the day because I was on the Committee on Human Services and Elderly Affairs, and he was Secretary of A&F.
Mm-hmm.
The Secretary of A&F, or might have been Human Services at that time. And so he would come before my committee, and we would often challenge the administration. At that time, he worked for Governor Weld. And there was a lot of development in the realm of child neglect and child abuse and caseloads and so on and so forth, and, you know, very difficult, vexing issues. And so that was the only way that I knew him. I don't know him. I know that he frequents Cape Ann.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yep. You know,
But I don't know him personally. No, I don't.
You know, I'm looking at your feature here in the Salem Evening News, written by Aaron Nolan about a week and a half ago. And, you know, you started very early in public service. And I'm wondering how important that is now that you're resuming the legislature, you're going back to as a representative, to get kids involved. Talking with people across the state, this is one of the most involved election ever. There was more people who voted this time, whether it was in person or by mail, probably than any other election. But I'm wondering how important it is to involve the youngsters. I mean, it says here that you started when you were 10 years old, and you've been doing this ever since. Is there a plan? Is there a way that you can, meet with kids, talk to kids at some point about the work that you do, the work that the state legislature does, and maybe civic response? You know, you mentioned service, just plain service, and I personally, selfishly think that that's so important.
I could not agree with you more, Rick Moore.
Thank you.
yes, my first campaign, I was 10, and it was for state representative, well, he wasn't the representative at that time, it was for Jack King, and he was a hugely respected state representative from Danvers. That was before the size of the House of Representatives was reduced. And so then when the House was reduced in size and Danvers was redistricted, Jack wound up running for the Senate, and he won, and he followed after Kevin Harrington. He had the seat, and he served for a number of terms. But anyway, that was my introduction to politics. I was very lucky because Jack was all about integrity, and he did marvelous work in the human services area. And so I often will ask people, I think there's something magical about the age of 10.
And yep.
I think that oftentimes if you talk to people who do things that they love, something formative happened for them around that age, you know, in a good way. They were on a campaign, or they were exposed to something that really struck a chord with them. I loved having interns when I was in the state house in the past, and I loved going to schools, loved any invitation to go to a school and talk to kids, because the energy is just so wonderful. And it does remind you, by the way, it's very grounding to talk to students who will just plainly ask you things and have you explain them. I had 5 interns involved in my campaign over the summer. Most of them from my town, one outside of my town. Great, great young people, all students, and they brought an energy to the campaign. And it wasn't easy to have a lot of energy in a campaign where there were no events,
right,
no coffee hours in backyards, none of that. And so the young people brought it, and I would love us to have a much more robust approach to, you know, now it's called civic engagement. I don't know what it was when we were growing up. It was your parents were involved in town meeting. My dad was on the select board, a president of the Little League. These were just things that you did in your community. And it's hard when people are working. I know a lot of people who would love to have done more of it, but they were working full-time, and they didn't have the time. But we want to be encouraging that involvement. I was glad. I hope that young people are really fully engaged right now, because there are big challenges, and we need them.
Well, I hope you're not having trouble with your transition team. But having said that, Representative Spiliotis certainly is an icon in the area. And I wonder, will you be drawing on his expertise or his knowledge, or have you at this point? Because you not only represent Danvers, but also parts of Middleton and West Peabody and so on. And you can't be everywhere all the time. Do you lean on some of his advice, perhaps, or will he be available, or do you want to use him as a resource? Maybe that's a bad question to ask, so if it's a loaded question, just avoid it.
No, not at all. In fact, the best interests of the people of this district, again, you're right, it's Danvers, it's Precinct 2 of Ward 5 and all of Ward 6 in West Peabody. It's essentially from the Big Y, a little bit before that, Goodale Street in Peabody, all the way up the rest of West Peabody. And then it's Precinct 2 of Middleton, which is essentially, it's everything if you're traveling west on Route 114 in Middleton. It's everything off to the right. The best interests of our district are served when we all work together. I have no question in my mind. Ted will be helping me. I'm still getting things buttoned up in my campaign. I'm still out picking up signs because
yep.
I love because it's I'm chatting with people, and I love having a chance to talk, but it's taking me a little bit longer than I thought. But I am absolutely certain Ted will be a resource. He will be there to be helpful. Senator Joan Lovely called the other day and will be a great resource. And, of course, I know and have worked with Tom Walsh, who's in the adjacent district. And I met Brad Jones out in front of the Fuller Meadows School in Middleton one day. I think must have been the primary. And I said, Brad, did you and I come into the legislature together? And he said, no, I was an aide when you came in, and then later I ran. But I knew that he was familiar face. That will be really helpful as well in transitioning to make sure that there's continuity, particularly among these constituent cases. I think I actually heard Ted talk about this, I think it was on this program with you, that the really hardcore, there was a massive number of applications for unemployment assistance, naturally, because of the pandemic. That seems to have, you know, hit an evening out point, and now it's the more difficult cases. And yes, we will definitely work together to make sure that things go smoothly, because that's in everyone's best interest. And that's really a pretty fundamental obligation of you know, an incoming legislator and an outgoing legislator. It's sad that we don't have an example of that from the White House.
I was going to say that, again, Massachusetts, I think there's a great model that could go down to Washington, and they should take notes. I've kept you way longer than I had planned, and I apologize for that, but I got a couple more questions. Number one, it says on this Salem News article that you have served on the Finance Committee which is you mentioned, but the Human Rights and Inclusion Committee. What does that mean for you? What is that in terms of what you're bringing to the what you're bringing back to the legislature?
Right. Good question. So, and this used to be called the Committee for Diversity, the Danvers Committee for Diversity. It was established in the late 90s by the Danvers Select Board at the time, following an incident of anti-Semitic graffiti on a school. And I think it was 97.
I remember that. Yep.
Yep. And I was, I remember having conversations about it. So when I then had time after I left the legislature and was, you know, home full time, and I actually worked part time for the paper, but then I also joined that committee because I felt that that was very important work to do, to be a community that is working hard to be accepting, inclusive. And so over the years, it's been a very important education. I served as chair at one point. We hold an annual tribute to Martin Luther King on Martin Luther King Day. It used to be a dinner, and we'd have it at the Danversport Yacht Club, and it was very nice. But then I sort of led the committee in a different direction and said, you know, why don't we make this family-friendly? Back to your point, Rick, of how do you engage kids? Well, kids can't go to a dinner at the yacht club on a Monday night. So we changed it into a program during the afternoon at Danvers High School. We worked in concert with the schools, and of course we've always had a wonderful relationship with both our school department and our police department. We work closely, and so that's been an ongoing event. And then obviously the sort of flashpoint that occurred over the summer with the murder of George Floyd and the demonstrations of outrage against that kind of have, I think, brought all of us into this moment of reckoning and realizing we have more work to do, much more work to do. And so I bring that to really everything I do. And, you know, when you think about what the legislature does, I think it's going to be important to keep equity and fairness front and center in every piece of legislation, in every budget. Is this equitable? Is this fair? Is this just? And I think if we approach it that way, we can get to a point of inclusion. And, you know, the committee of people who are now on the human rights, we changed the name to Human Rights and Inclusion a few years ago. And one of our senior members is a retired judge, David Mills, wonderful man. And to hear David Mills talk about his growing up in Danvers as a young gay man and through his life and the importance of feeling included.
Mm-hmm.
And I think back, you know, 10 years ago on this committee or when I first joined it, the watchword was tolerance. Tolerance.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right. That's right. Yep.
Oh, that's not an aspiration. That we can do better than that. We must do better than that, because to tolerate someone is no. Inclusivity, including people.
That's funny.
Accepting.
That's funny how that's changed, because I remember when I was in school, that was the word that was used when I was teaching, was tolerance, and that has changed for the better. Sally, I have one more question, and I just want to mention, you know, you mentioned some of the things that are going on nationally that have affected us locally, and of course Danvers very much involved with the I think it's the Thin Blue Line flag that was flown in certain places and so on, that has really created a lot of discussion in Danvers, but it has been civil discourse, and that is so important. And I wonder, I don't know what you did in the past. Maybe that will affect what you do in the future in terms of communicating with your constituents and they with you.
Well, I by the way, I appreciate. Yes, we did have a largely civil discourse. There was some horrible, horrible dialogue on Facebook.
Well, yeah, yeah.
And vile emails directed at our town manager and our members of our select board. That was really thoroughly unacceptable. However, a week and a half or 2 weeks ago now, our town meeting voted overwhelmingly to uphold the town manager's that issue about not flying the so-called thin blue line flag on a fire truck. And when it came to the finance committee, because everything goes to the finance committee before it goes to town meeting floor, I voted as well to uphold it. I thought that was a very important stand to take. And the overwhelming majority of the town feels that way. Good heavens, there are members of the police department who felt that way, who felt that that wasn't the right way for that flag to be flown. And they came, I think we all understood that you can be against that flag on public property and still be thoroughly supportive of your police. So I think that's where we are with that, and I think that's really helpful. And I think the community feels somewhat relieved to be kind of looking forward now. And so I think that that's a good place to be.
Okay. No, I know. I didn't mean to get you off on that. I apologize for that because it has sort of been resolved, and I don't want to open any wounds or anything. But I want to go back to I don't know if the past affects the future, but how will you be communicating with your constituents and they with you?
Yes, thank you. I beg your pardon. Yes. well, the availability, for instance, you know, blast emails. We didn't have any of this. When I left,
right.
we were just getting email. So, I think that's really useful. I will continue being available, in office hour setting. Well, when we can do that.
Right.
In the absence of that, you know, email, I'm not big on Facebook, but I understand that sometimes, practically speaking, it's the only way to communicate something. So I will keep my campaign Facebook page, at least for now. I'm not sure going forward whether every legislator has an official state representative Facebook page. I don't think so. I have a campaign website. I think mainly email, meeting with people, and, you know, I always give out my cell phone. I think that, so I'll be available and communicating. I'd like to do, you know, a constant contact kind of update email. You know who does really great work that way, I think, is Anne Margaret Ferrante,
mm-hmm.
who communicates beautifully with her constituents. And, you know, I would like to be able to do something similar. She's very, very good at what she does, in my view.
Okay, that is Sally Cairns, the representative-elect from the 13th Essex District with MSO News Sports. I'm Rick Moore.